Parts of our states have struggled with a resurgence of cases, including Umatilla County in northeast Oregon, where a full lockdown went back into effect. There's nothing quite like that in our region, but there is concern about a steady rise in cases. Yesterday marked the first time in a week Jackson County did not report new cases in double digits. Dr. Jim Shames is the county medical director. He visits once a week to field our questions about the virus and its spread, your questions and mine. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Dr. Shames, welcome back.
Thanks, Jeffrey. Glad to be here.
Not a great week in Jackson County. 92 more cases from Monday to Monday and a death. Compare where Jackson County is with where you hoped it would have been by now.
Well, this is beginning to sound fairly common because every week I say the same thing, which is we are steadily increasing our total number. And so, you know, you go back a month or two where we were seeing one, two, three, four cases a day. We're now, as you said, you know, often in the double digits. So significant increase in overall disease load in our county. And that's, you know, that's quite worrisome, primarily because people can get away with almost any kind of behavior if you have very little virus to bump into. But now, with so many people symptomatic or asymptomatic, that the chances of doing risky things, it's much more likely you're going to get infected when you do it.
So essentially, more virus equals more virus. The more of it there is around, the more of it it's going to spread.
Right. And so, you know, when you drop in and visit people that you don't know well and you aren't wearing a mask and you aren't socially distancing, the chances that you're going to, in fact, get infected when you do that is greater now than it has been.
To the point of the asymptomatic cases, which seems like there's a fair number of those. I mean, is there a particular breakdown on how many of those are positive but not showing symptoms?
You know, the numbers vary greatly, both because we don't have a lot of testing and because of asymptomatics. You know, the estimates vary anywhere from, you know, 10 times as many people actually have the disease than we know about, you know, to a quarter, you know, to four times as many. But there's clearly more COVID in our community than we are aware of, largely because so many people are asymptomatic.
Right. And I do wonder, though, and I don't know how much analysis there is. And I mean, I know public health tends to deal with, okay, where are the cases, where are the clusters, let's go after that. But to motivations, I wonder if there's any information indicating that if people are not as concerned as they might be simply because they're aware of the fact that you can have it and not really know it.
Yeah, motivation is really key to this, is how do you get people to take it seriously, do some very simple things that will protect them and protect their family. You know, we're fighting some headwinds on this between political headwinds and others that keep people from taking it seriously or even believing that it's a problem.
So what can you tell us about the circumstances in the single death now attributed to Jackson County?
It's an individual who you know, was sick from the beginning. He was a very sick individual, came in, needed to go up to Portland for, you know, a higher level of care, and then ultimately didn't make it. I can't really tell you much more than that, but we have seen a number of people who are quite sick end up in the intensive care unit, and in this particular case, this person didn't, you know, was succumbed to, mm-hmm. to the disease eventually.
Do we know the age range?
I don't remember if we've released that.
I can't either, honestly. My apologies for not being ready on that question. I do notice, though, that while we're talking about ages, as I looked at the county breakdown within age cohorts, it seems like you have 50 active cases between the two age cohorts in the 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
So younger adults are accounting for a lot of the increase, it seems like, or at least the number of active cases.
Right. And that's been the trend ever since we reopened, and we've talked about this before, the fact that, you know, people going back to work tend to be younger, and the people that are in service industries that put themselves, you know, at greater risk also tend to be younger. And that's been a demographic shift. I think it's been true around the country, and it's partly the way in which we've had, you know, a tremendous increase in cases and only a modest increase in deaths is because some of the highest risk groups are not going out and putting themselves in harm's way as much as the younger folks are.
All right. The employment detail was an important one you just added, though, because then it gets us beyond just thinking in terms of this is just social behavior. This is also employment-related behavior, people having to get back to work.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that it does behoove those of us who are hiring people to make sure that their workers are safe. And I think often, the inconvenience of wearing a mask or providing social distancing is enough that people are taking chances in their employment.
We're talking to Dr. Jim Shames, Jackson County's medical director, working out of Jackson County Health and Human Services, answering our questions weekly about what's going on with the coronavirus, particularly in Jackson County, which is where his jurisdiction lies. You can join the conversation. Your questions and comments are welcome here on The Exchange. Things that you may have noticed, questions you have about the behavior of the virus or the people who carry it. 800-838-3760 is our phone number. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about homeless people, unsheltered. Are you keeping track of the rates of infections among that group of people?
We're trying. As it turns out, we really don't believe we've had very many cases in those that are unsheltered. That's a remarkable piece of good news. Mm-hmm. But so far, so good. And I think that's partly because anything you do that's out of doors is generally safer than things that you do indoors, so that may be part of it. And what may be a blessing now may turn out to be quite a different issue when the rains come.
Right, when the weather turns ugly, but when the weather is mild and pleasant, and nobody can actually die of exposure at this point.
Right.
You got that going on. But so interesting. So who's been collecting the information about cases among unsheltered people?
Well, we do contact tracing and we keep close track of lots of different data points, and that's entered into a large database that the state has access to and we have access to. So we have not seen that trend, and I don't believe the state's seen that trend. I mean, we report various things out, but that one just hasn't come to my attention. And I think we're doing pretty well in that respect.
All right, let me come back. One of the things I failed to mention, I was talking about the two age cohorts, 20s and 30s, 50 active cases. There are 129 active cases as of yesterday in Jackson County. So the 50 active cases just within those two age groups represents a fairly significant bulge. That's why it was worth mentioning in the first place.
Yeah.
Which turns us then to talking about schools, because a lot happened. Everything seems to happen in the afternoon of the day we talk to you in the morning. And so the governor put out the guidelines for what it'll take to reopen schools, the metrics that must be met 3 weeks in a row, 10 or fewer cases per 100,000 people over 7 days, test positivity of 5% or less over 7 days. Where is Jackson County in either of these?
Well, we're way above 10 per 100,000 people for 7 days. That's that's for sure. We've gotten close to those sorts of numbers, in just a couple days. Our test positivity rate has always been below the state, and ours is below that as well. But I think the other criteria is probably the more important one, which is just sort of how much COVID do you have in your community, and what's the likelihood that, bringing a bunch of kids together is going to further its spread.
So at this point, what was I reading? Let me see. I just looked at Medford Schools, which looked at the metrics last Tuesday, And the response from the superintendent's office was that grades 4 through 12, Medford School is the biggest district in Jackson County, that's why I bring them up first, grades 4 through 12 will be fully virtual. Students will be taught by the teachers from the schools the students attend. But K-3 students could be offered in-person instruction, but that was pretty close to the threshold even there. Says the Medford School Superintendent. So did they contact you directly, or they just look at the numbers and go, okay, we can or we can't?
Well, we have liaisons with public health that are regularly meeting with the schools, and so I get my information sort of through that channel. Yes, we have close contact with the schools. I think that particular strategy makes sense, and I think that's being promoted by the State Health Division, which is that, for various reasons, if you're going to consider in-person education, you know, the youngest age groups would be the ones to think about. You still have to do it safely. You still have to keep the teachers safe. You have to minimize the possibility of bringing the disease home. A lot to be worked out, so I think that their basic assumptions are appropriate.
Just in terms of public health behaviors, though, I mean, you got a couple of crossing concerns, I would think, with the younger kids, that they may be less susceptible to catching it, but they also are not have the best hygiene.
Right. I think everyone's a bit surprised that, you know, considering how much, you know, young children spread other diseases like influenza and the cold, that there may be some differences with this particular virus in terms of children spreading it. We're still kind of learning as we go. But I think the basic assumption is that kids certainly don't get seriously ill as much as adults. They perhaps spread the disease less efficiently when they're quite young. But of course, you know, that same virus could make their teachers quite sick or their grandparents might sick. Quite sick, so lot to balance in terms of science and reality on the ground.
So the current thinking, if I'm up with the science, is that it's mostly droplets through the air that is the major concern, and hence the reason for facial coverings.
Yes, it's mostly droplets, but it increasingly appears to be not entirely droplets, and so aerosol, to some extent, is probably part of the mix as well, and that certainly becomes the case when someone is talking, laughing, yelling, that you know, the droplets go further, but some of the virus probably hangs in the air for a brief period of time.
All right, the difference being just the weight of particles, the weight and size of particles, so the aerosolized stuff will actually hang there like smoke or something?
Yeah, right. And the significance of that is that indoor activities then carry an increased risk because aerosols can remain, you know, in a room, whereas outdoor activities, imagine, you know, a school, for example, that's largely outdoors, is much safer. You've got, you know, the droplets get, you know, carried away by the wind, but certainly the aerosols do.
Mm-hmm. All right. So in addition to having schools consider what they're going to do in the weeks ahead, we also have the agriculture industry and pear picking season coming up. And I was just noticing yesterday's Mail Tribune had a picture of Helen Funk, the county fair manager, in a place where a PPE gets distributed to people in the fields. What's the picture there?
Well, I think that same article mentioned that we're doing some of the most proactive work here as any place in the state, and I think that's true. We've been meeting for well over a month now, preparing for workers coming in and trying our best to keep them safe. At the fairgrounds, we have sort of a backup situation where folks that may need to be quarantined or isolated could utilize facilities at the fairgrounds if that becomes necessary. But, you know, all up and down the chain, both in terms of how do you get people tested, how do you work in a cohort situation so that any individual that may become positive, you know, you don't wipe out an entire workforce. There's lots been going on, certainly a lot more to do, but I think we can get this done in a way that can keep the workers and the community safe.
And the cohort idea, again, is basically you function as a unit. Your group of people doesn't tend to intermingle with other groups of people, so that if somebody in your group gets COVID-19, then that group will isolate.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. And that may be a principle involved in school openings as well, that, you know, if you have a relatively small group that travels together and works together and sleeps together and eats together, that, as you said, you can more easily isolate and keep people safe rather than having to figure out, oh my gosh, 200 people were involved here. We have to shut the whole operation down.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, it's interesting because it's easy to get lost in the numbers. And I know that I just happened to grab another set yesterday, look at the COVID-19 weekly testing summary from OHA. And test positivity has been a big deal for a while now.
Yeah.
At its bottom at the end of May, Oregon got down to about 1.6% in 1 week and 1.7% in the following week of positive tests. As of last week, it was up around 6.1%, which is many times more. So, so this is what you're saying. There is just more virus out there, it appears.
Yeah, and that's a percent positivity rate. Meanwhile, the actual testing has gone way up as well. We're testing, I don't know, two or three times as many individuals per week as we were a month or so ago, and yet our positivity rate is higher. Yes, we're testing more, and we're finding a whole lot more virus at the same time.
And so do you draw any – it's interesting because here again, I'm getting to the numbers stuff, but looking at Jackson County dropping under double digits yesterday for the first time on the same day that the national number dropped under 50,000, it looks like for 2 days straight. I mean, do you ever look at the numbers in that sense and think, well, maybe there's a trend here, or are there other things you have to look at to consider what the next move is?
Well, certainly, you know, 1 or 2 days will never make a trend, mm-hmm. but – sure, we're always grateful when we see the numbers moving in a different direction. And then, you know, we're looking out beyond the horizon, you know, looking to what's happening on the state level, what's happening on the national level, and trying to figure out both what the trend is and what might have contributed to it. So if it's a trend in the positive direction, we certainly want to replicate whatever it is we think we did that moved the needle in the right way.
And are you aware of any super spreader events going on, big parties or anything like that, or gatherings of people by lake shores?
We had some. We're not aware of any now. We have lots of separate outbreaks and lots of, you know, various community clusters to deal with, but nothing that is feeling like a super spreader event.
All right. So is the message, particularly, you know, we're talking now about, what, 2 weeks after the president finally was photographed with a mask on, that can help, I would think.
I think it would help phenomenally. I mean, it's you know, people have their heroes, and you know, they vary between us. But if our heroes, the people we look up to, are all wearing masks and patterning safe behavior, I think it would go a very long way.
All right, so we're back to the three W's reminder again. Wear a face covering, watch your distance, wash your hands, says the Oregon Health Authority. We're talking to Dr. Jim Shames from Jackson County Health and Human Services, who joins us once a week to answer questions about COVID-19. There are always things to ask. Thanks for showing up to answer.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.
Take it easy.